Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey, y'all. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, and I'm Augie Carton. We are stealing beer, Justin Kennedy.
Hey, what's up?
You and me alone, just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
No John Hall.
No John Hall.
If John Hall was here, he'd tell you it's 6 o'clock on Monday. But we are at Barcade, our home away from home, and we're chilling out. We're tasting beers. With us accomplicing right now is Travis Smith, who's the managing editor of Hop Culture Magazine.
How you doing?
Very well. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
An online joint out of Pittsburgh. Is that right, Travis?
Yes, and then I hold down the fort in New York.
Oh, right on. So you didn't come from Pittsburgh?
No.
Justin led me to believe you came from Pittsburgh on a fixed bike.
No, just 45 minutes on the train.
Right on. Well, really? So where in New York are you?
Upper East Side.
All right, yeah. So that's what's funny. I tell all the people in the world, I'm like, if you, it can take longer to get to, you know, the Village from the Upper East Side than from Brooklyn. If you have to depend on the 6 train,
yeah,
and
sure,
it's weird.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a weird thing, though. And we've convinced Dan Suarez of Suarez Family Brewing, D Suave Radio, to join us and sit in since Hall wasn't here because we're having so much fun. And for those thieves at home who love a second episode when Augie's all lit up, we have the added wrinkle of Boat is on tap at Barcade tonight. So I'm drinking side beers now a little too quickly. Yeah, you know how I like to do. Anyway, Travis, so we've had a big... So for the thieves at home, I have no idea when this will come out. It'll probably be summer.
Memorial, it's going to be about a month. Yeah,
Memorial Day will have happened.
Yeah.
But we're just coming out of that week where the brewery that's clearly so dead to me, I'm forgetting their name.
Wicked Weed.
Wicked Weed sold. Hinnikin took over the rest of Lagunitas. We actually outed, you know, some online medias were outed as being owned by AB. It was an exciting news week in craft, and I'm glad this week was less exciting. But how do you fall on that? Like, so what is Hop Culture? You're trying to introduce conversation of beer in general to everybody, but more as like a lifestyle aspect, like a good life includes beer, and here's how you get to know it.
Sure,
kind
sure.
of thing. Am I right on that? Like.
Well, I came from, so I went to Columbia for journalism school. So I'm definitely coming at this from a
humble
more
brag,
journalistic.
Humble brag. I went to Columbia
background.
For journalism school, which they're kind of famous for.
Yeah, I guess that was a
that was a
brag.
Bit of a humble brag. Go on. I like it.
No, just to get right into it. So I want to be, you know, an independent place for journalism.
Okay.
But also with that is, yeah, the lifestyle element, the kind of the need where a super fan of Carton would love to read an interview with you, but I think that there's a lot of people out there that just want to know what's good.
Right on.
Because I have a lot of friends, and they're kind of a little intimidated by the, you know, how...
The vernacular,
exactly,
the way we talk.
Just how intense everything can be. So just giving them, like, 5 things to look for when they're in Whole Foods is as deep as they'll get in craft.
Okay.
And so I kind of want to acknowledge both, you know, the super fans and the people that want to get into it without, you know, turning them away.
I get that. Suarez, as a brewer, is there anything worse than somebody learning the language online that you, like, it's almost worse to have half-informed people than non-informed people? Do you think we want people teaching the language carefully from a proper writing perspective? I do. I think this is very important. It's like what I hope for the Cicerone program is that they fix service, like lines and glasses, and what I hope for journalism is they teach people truths and not beliefs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But are you annoyed by it? Or do you have
no.
a computer up on your farm?
Yeah, I do. I think it's important to educate the consumer. I think the more educated the consumer is, the more into beer they can be, and I think that's a good thing, you know. So I think there's a lot of misinformation out there.
That's
but
what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
So if John Hall was here, my partner on the show, Hall is a proper smoky, right? Hall is a proper
journalist.
But I mean, like a newsman journalist. Like John Hall's a young guy, but in my head he's like this, you know, he could be yelling at Spider-Man for not getting the shot. And I guess what I'm saying is there's this part of the way people are figuring out how to talk about things in all things, not beer, literally all things, where people think beliefs matter over facts and things like that. And I think beer is just one of them. But so how do you hold yourself true to what education are you giving yourself to teach people which five they should grab at their bodega tomorrow night in... You're on the Upper East Side, right? So let's make it West Side. Let's say you're back on Columbia's campus. What five are they grabbing tonight, and how are you talking to them?
I guess you just drink a lot of beer. And
fair enough.
I mean, I just, do. I watch. I have a lot of friends that aren't into beer, so I watch how they react to what I bring them.
Okay.
So I think that's really important because, you know, you can read. The more you read, I think that you get farther away from just, like, the everyman. Okay. And I think that that's, like, a huge next step for beer is, you know, it's maturing, but it needs to enter kind of the mainstream more, in my opinion. But, you know, not through buyouts and through things like that.
No,
but,
I get it.
But just without people being, you know, all about the hops, all about the, you know, most people don't even know what dry hopping is. So why like, talk about that when you can just talk about a beer having a taste that everyone can kind of relate to, like, you know, a fruit or just an association like that, which is kind of how I like to wrap it up.
Now, the poetry of tasting, like, all right, so I was actually having an online beer advocate conversation with some of the Jersey guys today. And I was saying that I was talking about the smell of horse shit, as opposed to the smell of horse blanket or pasture or barnyard, and how a barnyard smells like a million things, and one of those things is horse shit. And if you really go deep down certain wild beers, but even like perfect village Burgundy smells like horse shit and cherries. And when you get that and love that, you're at a place where, you know what I mean, you've gotten more poetic in your words as opposed to factual, right? Like, I know because of games and science, I can break down for you the common, you know, whatever molecular thread of horseshit and some bacteria that's in horseshit that is a commonality. But that's boring, right? So how poetic do you let yourself get when you're talking about beer plainly? Or are you afraid that puts people off too?
I guess a good example would be for Treehouse.
I've heard of them.
You've heard of them? Okay.
They're up north, right?
I think so. Out there.
Dude.
So I think that one flavor I really get from a lot of their IPAs is kumquat.
Cool.
And to me, that just sticks out, and I don't need to talk about anything else. I just say kumquat, because that's what's true to me.
Okay.
And so instead of kind of obsessing over all the little flavors, maybe I just give it a broad stroke, and if that connects with you and you have it, then you go from there. Because I feel like it's setting like base camp for people that are getting into it or right that want to explore more. Instead of, you know, launching 10 adjectives at them, just give them one thing that, like, oh, it tastes like this. You know, this is a pecan pie.
Now let me ask you a kumquat question. Wow, that was a tough sentence. Kumquat question.
So much cum on this episode.
Kumquat question. That's like red leather, yellow leather. Kumquat question. To me, they're bitter, right? Because you throw them in your mouth whole and you've got that whole rind thing going on. And I don't think of Treehouse beers as bitter.
Well, they go bittersweet, right?
Right, they do.
Yeah.
But I don't think of Treehouse. And, I mean, I've had all of them, but not enough of them to be conversational on it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, luckily, we're friendly with them. So we see them and they share beers with us and we share beers with them. But still only get, but I don't think of them as uniquely bitter as far as IPAs go.
But
so
they
so
have
that's
like a rindy character.
Yeah,
yeah, like they're rind.
You're so much closer than I am.
Yeah,
dirty fast. You know what's most exciting about this episode? I believe Dan Suarez is blind right now. You have no idea what's in the black glass.
Yeah, I'm blind.
So you're John Hall for real.
Flying blind.
That's right. Oh, so this will be fun to play. So all right, let's get to the black glass. What Steal This Beer should be, and I think we're on the right track, is a candid conversation of beer and beer matters. We have different writers, different brewers, different people from the community in, and we drink a couple drinks together and start talking about what shit is and what it isn't, not what we thought it was, should be, or could be. And to facilitate that, we drink blind out of black glasses. Dan and I have been served a beer from Travis that is in an opaque black glass, and we can't see. The problem is we're all drinking it with Boat, which is known to be a dominant hop profile.
And I've grapefruit stepped away from Boat. I'm a serious taster.
Now you're serious?
Yeah, I'm very serious.
It's sitting right in front of you. radio. Way to take advantage. You've got deep radio roots. I can tell that you know you're allowed to lie on this. I still haven't figured that out.
Yeah.
Oh, smooth. So what do you get out of the glass?
I'm getting like a kind of classic clean Saison-y vibe. A little bit of that green apple citric nose. Almost like a nose of like cotton swabs, if that makes
sense. Oh, I like what you did there. Like, see, this is fuck. That's why I love drinking.
If that makes sense.
It totally makes sense.
It might make sense to some.
And I like that you didn't brand said cotton swab.
Yeah,
it could be any cotton swab.
And then in the flavor, there's like a flash of tartness. It's actually a really nice, a very nice like flash of simple.
Yeah, there's some
acidity.
Kind of fruit in there, I think. Do you get it?
No, it reads to me more like a monoculture saison, real simplistic flavor, but like nice.
Did you just say monoculture saison?
Monoculture, yeah.
We're gonna get back to that.
Yeah.
That's coming back up. I'm still loving your cotton swab thing though, because. That's another one of the medicinal flavors. Like, we all know that smoke does a Band-Aid thing on a lot of things. And I was like, but you know how there's various medicinal flavors? That's one. This you definitely nailed cotton swab here.
But yeah,
or gauze. Or just,
yeah,
you know,
it's,
or
it's
just
a,
gauze.
It's a very delicate aroma, and it doesn't come through in the flavor for me. In the flavor, it's just kind of like this yeasty, slightly floral green apple kind of...
Yeah,
thing.
There's some acidity to it.
Yeah,
that green apple
thing.
Yeah,
it's got a nice twang.
So it's somebody's mixed ferment saison, no? Like a saison yeast that's throwing that.
Monoculture, man.
Is that a pejorative from you mixed ferment guys?
I don't know.
I love this. I can't tell if Dan's trolling Augie or not.
Dan's definitely trolling me. There's no doubt about it. But that's why I'm saying we'll get back to it. I just don't want to disrespect the beer.
Yeah, no. I think it's real pleasant.
You think it's just a single pitch of Saison and that acidity came from where? No fruit, no...
It's just a tart Saison-y yeast thing. I hope I'm on point.
I don't think you are, man.
All right.
I don't think you are. I think there's fruit or some... lactic rest on it, because that acidity wouldn't happen from a saison yeast that I'm familiar with. Right, there's just that little tiny hit of fruit acid there.
Yeah. It's not a fruit beer though. I don't know.
Well, I doubt it's made out of apples like some asshole did on one show. let's.
Do you want to go all the way? Or you want to think about it a little bit more?
No, we got to write a sentence.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, that's you going all the way?
All the way, yes.
You are such a writer. Going all the way means fucking dude. Anyway, so I feel like anything you slow cook would be fine with this. So like a charcuterie garni or a short ribs with cabbage or anything that has thyme, wants a little brightness to thyme, not the herb, thyme, you know. Start in an oven with the lid off, put the lid on, braise it. Even some fish that was cooked that way would benefit, right? This would draw herbs out of that kind of cooking. It would cut the fat. I feel like this is something we're all sitting around a table serving with a spoon from the middle of the table. This would be that meal's beer. Fair enough?
Yeah.
Where are you drinking it?
I'm drinking it... with my family at maybe, I don't know, something like a tuna niçoise or maybe kind of like something with mint would be cool. Like my mom does this thing with like a blanched haricot vert and then like garlic, olive oil, and chopped mint.
I like that a lot.
That would be good. And then some kind of roasted.
Is your mom
meat.
From Provence?
No, my mom's Italian. She's
Suarez, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Wait. Was it Suarez and you dropped the I when you guys emigrated?
Suarcatraz, actually.
I was trying to make Flores. It Italian.
but yeah.
Oh yeah, Stan Flores. I forgot.
Stan Flores. But yeah, I would Yeah, I don't know, just like a rack of lamb with that haricot there.
And some
mint and garlic.
And some mint. It's nice. Yeah. Travis, you brought it. Does it taste like you wanted it to taste like?
Yeah.
It did everything you expected to?
It's been a
while. What would you do? So if you were picking a single word, as you said you liked it, what would be your single word on this one?
Grassy.
Yeah? All right. It's called...
It's Jester King.
Dang.
Noble King.
Noble King, it's a hoppy farmhouse here.
How old is it? Like, is it still hoppy, or did they dry hop this and they fell out? That's what I'm asking.
2016.
Right on. So
crazy. So it is mixed. It is mixed ferment. Then.
Is it?
Yeah. It's got to be. Jester King.
Yeah. So there's a little acidity there.
Yeah.
Man, I like his beers.
Yeah, love them.
So how'd you get a Jester King? They don't come here, as far as I know, do they?
Up by me, sometimes in City Swiggers on 86th Street.
Okay.
Just like right by where I live. They'll occasionally get that, the Petite Prince, but yeah, it's kind of a maybe one every 2 months kind of thing, and I'll snap it up if I see it.
Yeah, no, you did a good move. I'm sorry that it's. I wonder what the hops were in it. I wonder how they showed, but I definitely like where it's at. Like, if you're gonna dry hop something, put it in a brown bottle and wait. It better have this kind of, you know, ability to age. Right, mm-hmm. When the hops fall out, you better still have something to lean
longevity.
On.
Longevity.
Exactly. See, Columbia. All right, so let's get back to it. How you guys are new, right? Like,
January.
New on the scene, hop culture. Right? Now, is the hop culture thing because somebody loves hops, or just because the IPA generation we're in the middle of, that's what we name things?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe
that's
that.
Fine.
I don't actually like IPAs as much as the next guy, but... A friend of Kenny, who's the co-founder, brought up hop culture, and it fits in a lot of ways. And I also thought that it allowed us to write about more things than just beer, because it's you know, I think hops might be a very American way to talk about beer, at least right now.
Right now, and, it is for
sure. And so when you talk about hop culture, it's just a very encompassing thing that we could do a lot with.
Right. So what else do you guys cover other than beer?
Well, beer, and then my big thing is I won't eat. Travel content that is, you know, if you go to a city and you like beer, I'd like you to be able to find an article written by someone who knows what they're talking about where the good beer is, where to get it, you know, whether that's a bottle shop, brewery, bar.
Right on. Asheville comes to mind right away, because those
a lot
damn
of places come to mind.
Well, those damn Burial guys literally came on the show and convinced me I had to go to Asheville. And I went to Asheville because of how convincing they were about their hometown. So if you could provide that service for a different town, like where have you been recently where you're like, shit, people need to know this exists down here?
Well, I went to school down in Durham, and Durham is right now just kind of blowing up, and there's a lot of good stuff down there. I mean, I think the South in general is sort of unexplored in a lot of ways for beer. You know, people don't really think about it.
Do you ever write about the laws and why that happens? Because when I think about the South and what's holding them back, it's... I mean, New Jersey's a pain in the ass for laws. Massachusetts is a pain in the ass for laws. But it seems that what happens down South, especially like North, South, Georgia, Alabama, Arkansas, like they seem to have really weird, like... There's no way you get to make anything but Budweiser in those states kind of laws, right? So do you go into that explanation so people get a feel for that, or do you just teach them cheats around those? So you know what I mean, like you know what I mean. Whenever you go somewhere like Utah, I go to every now and then to ski, and for a long time Utah was the hardest place to get a beer unless you knew how to get a beer in Utah. And if somebody mapped that out for you, that'd be very helpful.
Yeah, Utah is a great example. I mean, I was talking to a brewer in Utah, and I was almost more interested in the laws behind what they did. Just as much as what they did, because you know, it's just a huge roadblock everywhere you look there.
Still, so for thieves at home, still to this day, all draft beer in Utah has to be sub 4%.
Yeah,
but now you can buy bottles of beer.
Exactly.
So it's the weirdest thing where like you can buy a case from Epic, put it in your house when you're skiing, but when you're in a bar, you have to drink 4% beers. And what's cool is guys that cater to it. Try to do a Dan Suarez kind of thing, right? Where they're like, here's our 4%.
Yeah.
that we hope makes you happy till you get a bottle of our beer at the bar, right?
Yeah, it's all of their 4%. It's cool unless someone's forcing you to do
it. But what's funny is all the difference between yours and theirs is I think you're trying to make art at 4%. What I think they're trying to do is convince you to order something off the menu in a bottle by them. Like, have you been to Utah recently? You know what
no.
I'm saying? Like, I don't think anybody sells a keg of beer to any craft bar in Utah that doesn't have 10 of their bottles on. And every bartender that's ever served, because, you know, I try to drink draft. It's an East Coast conceit, right? Like, it's going to be better on draft. So you walk in, you pick off the draft list, and I'm fine with 4% beer. Yeah. But I'm like, it's all right.
It's
like, well,
world.
You should try their this. And they're like, here's 18 bottles from these guys at 12%. I was like, oh.
Here's what you really want,
Here's what you're after, sir. Where else is a good place to go right now? Where would you have a let's say you're a young, newly founded brewery in upstate New York with an 8-month-old child and a wife working harder than you, and you were going to take 5 days off, and all you needed was good sheets, good sheets, and 2 breweries and 5 bars to hit in a weekend. What town is going to be hot right now?
I love Boston. I do love Boston.
That's doable.
My girlfriend's from Boston. I've got some friends up there. And every time I go up there, I mean, the stores have a better selection than a lot of places in New York.
Yeah.
You know, we just can't get it here.
Weird. I think of them as more Jersey kind of state because they have such weird, like, who's allowed to sell what laws.
There's a lot that's available in Boston, and there's a good amount of...
It's pickly, right? Like dill?
I haven't tasted any.
There's
guys,
dill in it.
We're getting into the second beer now.
Thanks, Sean Hall. So beer 2's just hit. There's some sourness to it, and it is a lactic sourness, but I feel like there's dill in it.
Yeah, it's pickle for sure.
But like purposefully pickle.
There
like
is
dill
there,
and
there's dill and dill, cucumber. A little bit of a vinegar note, but not offensive.
Is it still beer? It still tastes like beer, though, right?
Yeah, it's
like
good.
They didn't do it. It's not like a Seagram's pickle root beer.
Yeah. It's cool. Mm. It also has like a little bit of that, like, in the nose, it has a little bit of that, like, barn stable. Like, in the nose, I actually don't get any of the pickle-y stuff. I get, like, this stable, kind of dirty barn. And then in the flavor, it's just like cucumber, dill, a little bit
little
of vinegar.
Acidity.
Yeah, it's like it's actually I find more complex and better on the palate. Is this a beer you've had before?
Yeah.
Is this a beer you love or a beer you like?
I do like it.
Yeah. Is it just way too contrived if I just put it with deli sandwiches?
No.
Like, can I just get us one
hey
of those,
man,
like,
simple is good.
Christmas party 8-foot subs and drink this beer with the middle of that sub with all the people at the office?
Yeah, I'm like, down with that. Simple
We're
is
We're writing
great.
Our sentence. You have to write your sentence. You can't steal my sentence.
I'm
like,
not going
I want
to.
This beer with mayonnaise.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
All right, cool.
It's disgusting.
Why? Not just mayonnaise on a spoon, motherfucker. Like, spread on a sandwich. What is wrong with you?
I don't like mayonnaise, so.
You don't like mayonnaise
I'm
at all?
Not a big fan.
And you write about flavor.
Mayonnaise has no flavor. It's like the most
mayonnaise has no flavor. Mayonnaise has mayonnaise flavor.
The most bland flavor.
We were just talking about French foods. Can you tell them that real mayonnaise is an important thing?
Mayo is like pudding. I want to eat it with a spoon.
Yeah, I think it's one of the 7 mother sauces.
Oh my god, I love it.
I can handle it. I'm not saying I don't like it.
No, it's you're dead to me.
Okay,
that's it. Yeah. Get on your fixie and ride home to Brooklyn.
All right, so you're going with just
I'm going with deli, like, but mayonnaise particularly. Like, I picture this being great with like turkey, sub, lettuce, tomato, salt, pepper, mayonnaise. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's really where I want it, and it's nice. Because of how pickly it is.
Nice.
What do you?
I'm going
you on?
With like baked ham, like maybe with some fresh made biscuits, like ham and a biscuit kind of thing, because like, you know,
like red eye gravy.
Do you put mayonnaise on your biscuits?
No, not like smothered. I'm talking about like real simple, like slice it,
smoked salty ham.
Yeah, like a Christmas hammy type thing, and then sliced off, put in a nice like buttery flaky biscuit, and
like the kind you hit on the counter,
a little mustard,
like the kind you hit on the counter, go. and you bake those biscuits. Like my sister's
I do
biscuits.
Love those. Yeah.
In my house, we call those Aunt Katie biscuits.
Either those or preferably something homemade. But I would also relish in the opportunity to eat that. But yeah, just the ham, buttery biscuit, Dijon. That's what I'm going with.
Cool. Travis, did you taste what we were tasting?
Yeah.
Is anything we said true? Is there dill and cucumber in it?
No.
No? It's just how pickly they got?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But this guy makes another beer that does have dill and cucumbers in it.
Maybe he didn't.
You guys
CIP.
Probably know who this
oh,
is.
Oh, that guy.
That guy. Your neighbor.
Yeah, he is my neighbor.
Who is he?
Evan Watson. Plan B.
Oh, that makes sense.
He's
God,
so
I love
cute.
Evan. Dude, you got to know I have a big crush on Evan.
Oh, man. I love Evan.
He's been on the show, and he's just one of... So it's called Flaggin'. Thanks for bringing this. His beers are very hard to get. I consider him a close friend, and I have trouble getting them. What is Flaggin'? White wine barrels?
Yeah, I just think it's their base beer aged in white wine barrels.
But yeah, where is that dill thing coming from? Because he makes that dill
Yeah,
beer,
he makes
right?
a pickle beer.
Pickle beer,
with,
yeah.
like, all the
things we mentioned, yeah.
Yeah.
It's completely, completely possible... Evan's bees were in dill before he took the yeast from their legs one Q-tip at a time, and that's everything we're talking about.
So I'm actually part of their CSA program. That's how I have them. It's called The Hive.
How hard is it for you to get there? Do you drive or do you
they
like
They come down.
Up? Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's like a real CSA where like you pick, you know, the farmers drive down to a place
exactly.
in the city.
Yeah. And my brother's a farmer, so it's like... I saw that they had the program, and it was pretty important to me
and
to like
Evan's
support. Yeah, and then I get to see his face every 2 months. Yeah. So.
And it's a great business model. I think it's super cool what he's doing. You know, like just a little.
You could do that.
Do you have land at the brewery? I don't want to fuck around with that.
Do you have land at the brewery?
I do not. We have.
You're an industrial space on an old industrial lot.
We don't have land.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you do work with neighbors, right?
Yeah, we try to use a lot of really cool local grain, local fruit,
All right, sorry to interrupt. I know this is your show, but this will tie in. The triangular that came on the show, you used a weird
buckwheat. Yeah,
because that was what confused me about it. Because it reminded me of Orval. But I couldn't place the outlier thing, and I think we decided it was buckwheat.
Yeah, buckwheat, it's when it hits the mash, it gets like all like, it smells like beeswax and like overripe tropical fruit, like in the mash. Like
right
when,
on.
Like usually when you're mashing in, you're like, yep, cereal, yep. you know, it's kind of
hey,
sweet.
Why does the whole brewery smell like grape nuts? Well, because that's what breweries smell like.
But when you're mashing in that much buckwheat, you're like, why? You're like, the brewery smells like fucking beeswax right now. It's crazy. But Evan is doing a cool thing down at Plan B, making.
Oh, Evan's.
Yeah.
And someone said dirty barnyard or barn floor.
Which
something?
Makes sense.
Yeah,
this beer actually smells when you walk inside of his little barn.
It smells like that.
Yeah,
barn.
You get a. Like, there is a visceral, it hits your. Which I think, like, a lot of the awesome breweries I've been to, that happens. Like, an aroma hits your nose immediately, and you're like, wow. And then you taste the beers, and you're like, it. I have the same aroma in the beer that, like, the place has, which is cool.
Yeah.
But that makes a lot of sense now.
So in your mission to stay on track for, you know, for consumer culture moving towards craft beer, how much do you get to write about guys like Evan? Like, because he's definitely, you know what I mean? Like Evan is a farmer /... brewer / beer drinker's guy.
I know
what
you're
getting at. Like, I feel like I could convince every man to like Evan's beers if I could look him in the eye and drink it with him. You know what I mean? But otherwise, I wouldn't just throw it out there as, you're going to love this.
Yeah, well, the internet is it's a hard place to get noticed. So when I write the article on Evan, he puts it on his Facebook or whatever he does with it, his newsletter. And so, like, he delivers that directly to his fans. And
okay.
so...
Right, so that's
getting
them meeting
it,
you.
They're meeting us. So when we do something that's more with more broad appeal, that's where it's actually more challenging because, you know, we just started. We're not big enough now to put something out there and it goes viral and everyone's talking about it. So, you know, right now I kind of prefer to write about Evan or, you know, Carton, something like that, where
you've
been
written about
there.
Us, have you? Did I miss something?
No, but we actually emailed a few years ago when I worked at Gear Patrol. I don't know if you remember that.
I probably
We got
don't.
In your IDIPA?
IDIPA.
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 Yeah, we got it in.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
thank you.
We emailed a little bit.
Now you left Gear Patrol to do this?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Because your Gear Patrol is cool.
Very cool.
I like that. All right,
I learned a ton.
And now you're out on your own project. So last week when the Newsweek happened, so I was getting news from everywhere because there was so much going on. I really wanted as many perspectives as possible. You know what I mean? Like, everybody was writing about the Jester King thing and everything else.
You mean, oh, okay.
But when I came in with it.
The Jester King.
No, I'm sorry. Jester King pulling out of Wicked Weed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was the breaking
that was
of the tide.
Yeah, first.
That's what I meant. I'm sorry. You're right. I should use more words.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is when that all happened, I started reading everything. And when I came in with, did you see this article? What about this? What about this? Hall immediately discredited like 8 of my sources as, yeah, but dude, they're completely owned by either a media source or a marketing source or a brewer, which we came to find out. We had a very good conversation about that with one of those writers. But how's it going? Who's funding you? Where's like? Can we trust you? Are you still clean? Do you have any dirty Guinness money in your pocket? I don't know about.
No, we're totally independent, and that's just the product of being really small.
No, I like
really
it.
Really lean.
That's you're talking to two guys who stay small and lean. This guy works for the Momofuku conglomerate. So.
They closed down, Augie. You know this.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Okay. He's a writer for all kinds of dirty sources.
Yeah.
Didn't you write for Men's Journal on that week?
I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
So what do you think is going to be the first thing that finds you? Like, are you waiting for news to break to draw people to you? Or are you like, oh, we'll write about this, we'll be ready? Or are you still just trying to grab 3 friends from every one friend about, you know, just what it is?
Yeah,
brewing these
with
days.
With the breaking news, I think that, I mean, they're more like beer news wires. And, you know, it breaks there, and I'm not looking to turn press releases and articles every day. I'd rather be in like the second or the third wave of that, where instead of telling you that Wicked Weed got bought out, I interview you, I interview Dan, and then I write an article about what these brewers feel about the buyout, you know, the reaction to it. So yeah, I guess maybe like a day behind the news.
Right. No, I think that's actually where it's most important these days, right? Like, people have gotten so excited to read 8 words, they're not reading 80. And if you want to write 80, you need consideration on what you're writing, right? So thank you for that. It's cool. And like I said, at the top of the show, I should have focused more on this, but I think getting people more conversational just in general about, well, what Steel of Spirit tries to be, what beer is and what it can be and what it feels like and not what we thought it was going to be or we were told it would be. Matters. So keep fighting that fight for us. That matters. Dan, you okay with where we're leaving this beer, travel, and tourism magazine discussion? Because we're going to read a letter. Did I miss any very important question?
I don't know.
I'm still drinking.
I don't think so.
All right, I'm still drinking Evan's beer, so I'm hoping you'll talk so I can get back to it. But anyway, do you have a letter for us, young Justino?
We sure as hell do. It's from Devin, and it's about mix and match packaging.
Mix and match packaging?
Mix and match packaging.
What's so, like, Granimals?
No, what you're going to do with the 6-pack.
You're not allowed to talk about that. What I tell you about, you're not allowed to talk about. Carton Brewing is making no new beers ever, never line up. We don't have anything new coming ever. You know I hate lines, dude. It's the worst thing in the world. You talk about it, people are like, when's it coming? Anyway, go
this
on.
This is not about lines. It's about packaging. I wanted to ask about beer packaging. With the rise of murky IPAs has come the rise of 16-ounce cans as the preferred vessel, and 4-packs is the most common packaging for local beer.
Oh, this we were talking about. Cool.
Bought directly at the brewery. As someone who, A, likes to try a lot of different beer, B, gets weird cravings that are easily satiated with one can of the desired beer, and C, doesn't drink often enough or in great enough quantity to warrant buying a bunch of different 4-packs at a time, I often find myself wishing the breweries I frequent and buy from most would offer single cans or mix and match 4-packs for purchase. I thought I heard Trillium had started doing this recently.
No way.
They don't. I.e., you could break up the 4-pack and choose the beers that you want to make your own 4-pack, a la grocery store, create your own 6-pack. I think that's awesome given the relatively short shelf life of certain popular turbid beer styles and my desire to drink less overall, considering that a tall boy can containing an average double IPA contains roughly 2 to 2.5 standard drinks. Do you think this option to mix and match will become more popular? Do you think it ought to be done in the first place? Keep up the good work. I really dig the podcast.
Travis, I want you to go first because I'm about to slaughter this fucking letter. Like, I'm going to rant my fucking ass off. So you go first and tell us what you think of his perspective before I tell him he's a boob.
I mean, I think if you want a single beer, you should just go to a beer store.
Or make a friend.
Yeah.
Or three friends and trade your 4-pack.
In New York, I think that's more common than other places.
Yeah, I can buy singles of whatever.
At a brewery, if you walk in and try to buy one.
No, but what he's talking about is going to a brewery, a Suarez, a carton, another half, or whatever, and that the smallest.
And buying it there. I mean, if you go and you get in line, or. I mean, if you go, just get four.
Like, just get four and have three friends.
We're not talking about a case.
And have three friends that are on other lines. Yeah. All right. But so. And to be fair, that's kind of the focus of hop culture,
there
right?
Are
like
breweries
you but you want to focus on beers people can actually put their hands on, right? Like you want them getting the beer you're talking about. So for your perspective, the 4-pack is in the store, right? Not because it sounds to me like he's lining up another half and he's going to waste 3 hours of his life to buy a single can of beer, which I think is. I hope it's not what he's suggesting people should do.
I also just think that you should drink like a lot of the beer that you get.
You don't have to drink the whole thing either. If you open it and you drink it.
If it's a good beer, you should drink. You should be able to drink it again and again and again. You know, not just kind of like come over here, come over here, come over here.
Right.
It's a little too frenetic. And, you know, I have a friend and he's like always throwing these one-off beers at me. Sometimes I just want like a consistent, just one night that's all. Whatever it is, boat beer.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm down with that.
I was going to say, Suarez, I was going to run over you on this one, but now I'm going to let you talk because we are right in your field house. Like, what do you think about that, right?
I think, obviously, there's different consumer perspectives one way or the other. For example, in our tasting room, we don't do flights at all. And I feel strongly enough about it that I'd rather serve somebody a half pint of a beautiful glass, a half pint beer with a head, and have them drink that, consider it, and then come back up and have another one maybe. But I feel
my only
like,
worry with that is getting them wasted.
Yeah,
that's why I won't do a flight.
Beers like 5%.
Yeah,
but you can't get four at a time at Carton. You can only get one at a time.
Yeah, that's what.
But
we
you're
do,
still only getting 4 ounces.
Yeah,
because if you drink, like if you buy another round of tasting, you're leaving my brewery with.
Yeah, I
hear real beers in you.
But my ultimate comment would be that most other consumers want to buy a full 4-pack or a full case, and it would be a lot of wasted man hours to have somebody sitting there like mixing some 4-packs or mixing some 6-packs. So. I think in the end...
Well, I think all he wants you to do is not snap the pack tech on, put them in the fridge, and let people buy one at a time.
They do that at Three's Brewing, actually. You can buy singles of their beer.
There you go.
Beers,
there's a brewery.
Devin, go to Three's.
There's a brewery that's listening to their customers. Good for them.
Much to their vehement hatred and anger.
They're absolutely
They definitely listen to what the customers tell them. And they bitch about it every day on their cans. All right, so I thank you. You guys made it lighter. Man, I was
angry
when I
heard
that letter.
There are other breweries that do variety packs.
Here's
like
what I'll
New Belgium, you know, I think Oscar Blues. Some of those big guys do variety packs.
When you talk about like 12 packs in stores?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, everybody does that. It's
not
literally
everybody.
It's still
not
the
everybody.
Biggest seller, but the mixed 12 pack. Is still the biggest seller in the Brewers Association ahead of IPA. So it's not.
I don't know if that's true.
No, it's definitely true mathematically. Like, you don't know if it's true what you believe, but what I'm telling you is we have that big Brewers meeting and they tell us, they're like, the variety pack still wins. IPA is coming on at such and such.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's pretty big. It's
but it's what everybody does, and that's a different thing.
That is, yeah.
That's a very different thing. And even when you're talking about that, it's usually a 12-pack with 4 3-packs in it.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not outside the bounds of a 4-pack. All I'll say is, if you buy a beer and you don't want to know what it tastes like at the bottom of number 2 and the bottom of number 3, and I get it. I don't know what weird math you use where it's 2.5 drinking units. I'm not British, and I don't use their math on my beer.
You're saying a double IPA is like 8%.
No, but he used drinking units, which is a British parlance. It's not a real thing. This is America, where we count 4.2 beers.
No, he just said standard drinks.
Right. That's a British thing. In America, 4.2 beer equals an 80-proof whiskey equals a 12% wine, and you have to get very good at algorithms beyond that. But if you buy a beer and you don't, even if it's so strong, like say it's a 12% beer and you don't want to have it 4 nights of 28 days, see what it does and where you go and what happens after you have a steak versus after you have a bowl of spaghetti. If you don't really want to get to know that beer, I don't want you drinking my beer, so I'm never going to cater to you.
Yeah. Well,
but if you're not going to live with my beer, go fuck yourself, right? Seriously. Like, if your whole thing is, I had one, and I told all my friends, and they jerked off to my fucking picture of cans, who gives a fuck? Like, I get that sometimes we drink that way. Sometimes we all get together, we all bring a can, and we all drink 80 different things. But that's not what beer's supposed to be. Beer's supposed to be something we drink. And if you find something amazing and you want to share it with your friends, bring that can there. But if your whole hope is to have split a can 4 ways with 3 guys... just kill yourself, dude. Don't buy beer anymore.
We might edit that out, but yeah.
No, I stand by it. I don't actually mean kill yourself. I mean kill yourself.
so much aggression towards
it's not aggression at all. That's completely passive, suggesting suicide. But no, seriously, man. Live with your beers. Get to know them. Know you can trust them.
Or give those
them.
Other 3 to friends or something. Like,
that's
you can
what
do
I,
a lot
I said that first. Like, yeah. You can buy 1 4-pack and trade...
Or just give them away.
And I don't mean trade like internet trade. I mean like have 3 friends that have beers you like and give them each one because you think you like it and they can give you something else back.
Yeah, what is a 4-pack? Like 12 or 15 bucks?
But looking to experience a beer, which is a living, evolving thing the way we make beers in one finite 16-ounce experience from a hermetic package is not experiencing beer. It's just not. It's experiencing the internet. And that's not how you should live your life.
I like that.
Remember last time you said. Remember last time you said you came off too bitter? Yeah, I figured I'd pick that up. For
nice,
you.
Nice. Loving this.
Covered your ass.
I'm looking good. I'm looking real good
in this episode.
Yeah.
anyway, thank you for your letter. What was his name?
Devin.
Devin. Thank you, Devin. I want you to rethink the way you drink. Seriously, I want you to live with a beer. I want you. What was the episode where I did the Summer of Sierra rule?
That was.
Whatever.
It hasn't
I want you to buy. I want you to buy just Sierra Nevada cans for 28 days and drink nothing else. And I want you to learn how to drink. And then I want you to come back to beer. Yeah. That's what I want you to do.
Or if you're ever painting the house or ripping some walls down, you go to the gas station, buy some Sierra, drink it while you're doing that. Clear the dust out of your throat. And then it's like...
It's exactly... Yeah. Like, is and that you're where
like,
you're going?
Yeah, and then you're like, Sierra Nevada. Like, I know. Turbid. I knew I've always loved it. But that is like...
No, I promise you. Just buy cans of Sierra for 28 days in a row and drink nothing else. If you're going to have 1 beer tonight, have that 1 beer. If you're going to have 3, have that 1 beer. And just readdress the way you taste beer. And then come back to everything you're talking about. And you will get mad at a beer you don't want a 4-pack of.
Yeah. I honestly, I've been drinking way too much beer. I feel like I need to get onto more cocktails.
Some boat.
Wine. Yeah. No.
I'm out of boat.
Yeah, just something not beer.
Yeah, cocktails and wine. Are
cider,
what
wine.
I drink
it. Yeah. And sometimes just to take my mind off it. And then you come back to a beer and you're like, damn, I knew I loved this.
No, that's
stuff,
that's my current reset. Somebody asked this, and that's my current reset. I suggest 28-day cleanse of nothing
like
but
that.
Sierra in a can.
I can get into that.
And then just go back to everything you were drinking and see how much you hate about beers you thought were easy to love and how much you love about beers you thought were, like, it'll change your view on stouts. You'll be like, oh, wow. Anyway. Yeah. So we're just rambling now because we're wasted and I'm at a boat, which means we should go. We have a Patreon now. Please go on to Patreon and give Justin money. and give Cass money. Every dollar you give Justin, he'll give 38 cents to Cass.
That seems about right.
Thank you both.
Patreon.com. You know it.
That's smooth jazz.
Travis, do you have a
Travis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for
Dan, thanks for sitting in for Hall. You are definitely our thin Hall. y'all get at us at
stillthisbeerpodcast@gmail.com and all the social medias.
Right on.
Ooh, you're now rocking with the best. This is D Suave. You're tuned in to D Suave Radio, aka Steal This Beer. Please donate to these guys so they can continue doing this thing. Patreon, please donate. Gracias.